Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Dukes and Bell, the best sports talk duo, breaking down the hottest topics in the ATL.
Wait a minute.
That's huge, big.
We like our sports like we like our brew. Fresh and crisp to the last out.
Yeah.
Carl Dukes.
You're not listening.
And Mike Bell.
Give me a freaking break.
Are about to take over the airwaves.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Carl Dukes and Mike Bell.
Hey, man. I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy, but we'll dive into this today with 2 feet. It is a Dukes and Bell. Our man Abe Gordon is filling in for Carl today. We start every hour of every show with a big hearty, hey, man. We got the Dominator pushing the buttons. We got Day-Day. He is in charge of this here operation. Takes a village. And we got plenty to talk about. Braves, man. That was interesting. Nick Allen is the guy, and I don't know about you, but I kind of, he reminds me of the little guy that's like the bench player in Bull Durham. The one that's like the God Squad guy who falls in love with like the dirty girl. Reza, will you take my testimony? He's like that little guy. Remember, they come off the road trip and they end up getting married. That's what Nick, when I think of Nick Allen, Day-Day, just like the little guy. Kind of like how Garrett Chapman reminds me of Fix-It Felix from Wreck-It Ralph. It's like, Nick Allen, get out there. Oakley Doakley. So, you know, when he hit that error, it was like, dag nabbit. You know, and so the one guy who's been so good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, because wife's out of town, so I'm on the couch. I got all the animals, the menageries around me, the cats, the dog. And I'm like, son of a, you know what I said? And the dog jumps up. What the hell just happened? Because it was like a total choke job, double clutch. I mean, it was like everything, you know, we all had those moments in Little League. You're like, ah, and it happened. Like the guy who's been smooth as,
yeah,
as silk at second base, at shortstop.
Bell, it was such a mixed feelings of emotions, right? Because obviously he'd been outstanding for this team. We talked about the defense and the errors, and
right,
there have been some shouts that he's an early Gold Glove candidate and all that stuff, and I don't disagree. You do see the double clutch, and you're trying to figure out what's going on. But at the same time, like, I'm trying not to get upset, and I wasn't, but I'm sure social media was. Trying not to get upset at Iglesias, right?
No,
he made,
I mean,
the pitch to get out of,
well,
it.
Well, he got, you know, he got, well, he put guys on, you know, because that's what he does. Because, like,
yeah,
we have not had a closer with elite stuff since Craig Kimball and a little bit of Kenley Jansen.
Right, right.
You know, and it's just we've had guys that nibble, guys who have to use guile and mix up speed and location. I mean, everybody, and I say this to Carl, because Carl always reminds me when I get on the closers, and I get on every frigging closer since Mark Melancon, is you want a guy to come out and throw 99. Well, those guys don't grow on trees.
Right.
And even those guys this year are struggling around both the National and the American League.
It's just so unique that we were talking yesterday with Grant about it was a bad luck night for Iglesias the night before. And then certainly in this one, now he had an opportunity to pull potentially a double play. He kind of misgloved it, and he couldn't grab it properly. He eventually does get that out.
Right.
But, boy, what a tough break for him, because he made the pitch to get out of it. It could have been a win right there and game over, and Nick Allen throws it away and all from there. But the one thing we had talked about was finding some clutch hits, and the other thing that I had mentioned specifically to you yesterday was Alex Verdugo. This guy's got to get on base, and he's obviously a centerpiece there early in one of the earlier runs, and then certainly that ball dribbled up the middle, and it's a game winner.
Yep, one guy that continues to struggle, man. It's Ozzy is flailing. You get to the point now where you got to sit him. And I mean, you got to bench Ozzy Albies. I know we got no one else.
You're there.
Yeah, I'm there. I'm his biggest fan.
Wow.
I'm his big. He can't hit. Now again, you guys, you know, it's Braves fans, follow me on this. I know not everybody. I'm not trying to be condescending. You know, 5 minutes into the show, but I mean, you had a hitting instructor that gave this team everything. Had one of the greatest seasons in Major League Baseball history. Certainly one of the greatest hitting franchise history in 2023. And then last year they come up on the breaks and they fire the hitting instructor. And oh, it's Seitzer's fault. I don't know anything about Hires, okay? I know Hires has been part of two World Series teams. What is he doing? What do you do? Because the Braves love to fire the hitting. I've seen four get fired in my time here. Managers stay forever, but the hitting instructor always gets whacked. It's like being the drummer in Spinal Tap. But, I mean, to me, like, what is Hires doing? How are you helping your guys to be better at the plate? Because the guys who continue to struggle, like Ozzie, go up there and they have no frigging plan. And I know he hit one hard ball to right field. Because I know Grant will always tell us, well, he hit a hard ball to right. Okay, there was one more. One ball he hit on the screws, and it was a line drive out. But that's it. That's it.
And it's interesting because, and look, I'm not a hitting coach, so I'm not going to get into the specifics of this, but it doesn't feel like it's a technical thing, right? Like, we've seen guys who start, you know, they're stepping in the bucket, or they're doing this, or they pick up a bad habit, a little tick that puts their timing off, whatever. I'm kind of with you here, Mike. This is a plate approach thing. This is a mental thing. And it's just one of those things. If I go up there and watch him swing at the first pitch again,
right,
and it's a pop out where the center fielder's kind of jogging in, or the pitcher's moving away so the first baseman can field it on the infield, like, I'm going to lose my mind.
Well, the thing with Ozzy, there was always the idea is never let him bat from the right side, because it's just, it doesn't work. Because right now against lefties, he's batting 190. Against righties, he's batting 213. Because normally it would be like a 50, you know, remember Grant? There'd be like a 50-point, like, split for lefty and righty. Yeah. And even that doesn't exist right now for Ozzy.
Are we team lay down a bunt, see what happens?
Oof. No, I'm just I love
Ozzy. You got him out the lineup. We got Luke Williams.
I love Ozzy. Something. You got to do something. You got to give me something. Because right now it's a designated out. That's when it's that bad. And that, look, I'm just not telling a Braves fan anything they're not already thinking when you're watching. All right, let's go show them the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's start with the good. And let's start with Brian Snicker talking about that unbelievable catch by Money Harris. Combination of, like, Willie Mays, Ken Griffey, because he goes over the shoulder and he hits the wall hard like Griffey used to. Take a listen to Snit.
Amazing catch. I asked him coming in. I was like, my God. And he said, you know, and he does. He practices that in batting practice. And he almost made another highlight film. That ball in the gap. I thought he was going to run it down. Mm. But that's amazing how he can kind of keep it in his gait and everything. His eyes aren't bouncing or whatever, and the coordination to catch those balls is phenomenal.
Yeah, almost had a snow cone later on a dive. And this one was interesting, and I put it out on Twitter. Like, that's one of the best catches I've ever seen. And maybe that was a prisoner of the moment thing, but it looked like he didn't know where it was. I think he kind of got turned around. But when he refound it, he kept tracking it. And my favorite was the reaction. And I just talked to you before we went on air. The reaction of him, like, shaking his head and saying, not on me, not today, boys. I love it. And that shows you why he is that guy that there's so much potential for. Like, he can absolutely be a gold glover. We've seen it before last night, but certainly last night as well.
Hey, man, some more audio from the Braves last night. Here is Ozuna from the Braves, Big Bear, going yard.
Ozuna attacks that. Left center, kiss it goodbye. A big fly for the Big Bear. 3-1.
I mean, one of the bigger long-distance jobs of the season from Ozuna.
Yeah, and it's so impressive for guys. And we always talked about Barry Bonds, and you remember this, where he would get – and I'm not saying that Ozuna is Barry Bonds or that the numbers are the same. But you would remember Barry Bonds would get like one, maybe two pitches a game that he could actually hit, and somehow he was always putting them in the water.
Right.
It's almost started to feel that way with Ozuna. He's being walked so much that every time he gets a strike, he's finding ways to put it in play. Yeah, he had a strung out, a hard base knock earlier, and then obviously the home run. It's very impressive to see. He is locked in, man. He really is.
2-for-3 with a walk in that home run you talked about. Sure, the Big Bear, man. I love this guy. Let's hear from Snicker on Iglesias. As we said, it's just he doesn't have electric stuff. And I heard Andy and Randy talking about it. You know what I want? You want, you know, Heater. Like, and even Heater is fallible because we've seen him get lit up. I mean, Freddie, one of the big home runs of recent Braves history, was beating up Heater in Milwaukee. So just because you're throwing 99 doesn't mean you're going to get away with it. It's just when you've got the stuff, and that's why I was never a fan of, like, the specific situational closer like Rivera getting every single vote for Hall of Fame. But then you look at it and you say, the guy was so bulletproof, say, for one World Series. You know, Rivera was just so good. In the old days, when I was a kid, relievers would pitch 2 1/3. You know, they actually really put the work in.
Yeah.
Now it's basically you're set up for success. But in the case of Iglesias, another grind. Here's Snicker on his closer.
And that was kind of a, you know, it's a tough play with a good runner, too, right there. I know. Poor Iggy, it's, you know, I know he's not pleased with it, but it's like just the other day, there was just like some balls right out of the reach and hitting the right spot. You know, that ball could have been right at Nick too. You know what I mean? And then the inning's over and he gets a save and he's kind of pitching into some tough luck here, too.
Quantify it how you want, Mike, but like I am just notching this up to bad luck, and maybe that's me, and I agree with you. Like, he's not the same pitcher he was last year. There's certainly concerns and struggles there. I'm not saying there's not, but the last two nights, it's just been bad luck. I hope it evens out. I hope there's a guy that shreds the ball 402 feet and Michael Harris makes an incredible catch. Like, it hopefully will even out over the course of the year.
Hey, man, one more piece of audio. Nick Allen, by the way, tough night at the ballpark, 0-3 at the dish, and, of course, that error that we talked about to start the segment. By the way, he's batting 137 at Truist Park. Isn't that crazy? 377 away from home. Here is a snit on his plucky shortstop.
No, yeah, it's great. It's great. He's a ball player. You know, that's a tough play because he's range. You know, he's such a rangy kid that he's going to get to a lot of those balls. And then, you know, sometimes in the transfer it doesn't work good. And you got a kid that can run that hit it too. So, I'm just glad we picked it up and won the game. You know what I mean? Because he helped us win the game with the sacrifice bunt.
Extra pressure. Braves now back to that perilous one game under 500. See if we can get to 500. As you guys know, the year of the World Series, we didn't get there until August. So, I mean, I know it's a benchmark we all want to get to, but we always struggle with it.
I'm going to go ahead and make the statement right now, and I'll repeat it a couple times, Mike. If they don't get to 500 tonight facing Mike Soroka, they're not getting back the whole year.
Oh, stop.
How about that?
That's crazy talk. Now, you know, that's come on, man.
A little overboard?
I
did say yesterday that they're going to get back with two wins, including the one over Mike Soroka. I still feel it with.
Hey, everybody. I got Abe over here. He says the Braves won't be over 500 for the season if they can't get past the Nationals tonight. You know, I worked at Fox Sports back in the old days, and they set up this thing. I was called the Opinionator. And they just wound me up with, like, stupid texts you just gave,
Hey,
man, last night, and we'll get into it as part of our daily download. We've got our next segment with Brett Boone, who's now all of a sudden not just our Odyssey insider. He's a hitting coach. We'll ask about, you know, what's going on with Ozzie and guys. But last night, you know, I just felt so bad for Jason Tatum, and now waiting for the official word. But everybody I saw, it's amazing how many orthopedists or doctors immediately get on social media and go, yes, I've not touched his leg. I have not looked at x-rays. That is an Achilles. I know it looked like an Achilles, and maybe it is an Achilles, but everybody last night pronounced it an Achilles. To see him wheeled off, I mean, when Paul Pierce gets wheeled off, it was a bit ridiculous. This was legitimate at the Garden.
Yeah, and he was obviously distraught. You know what I'm almost more amazed by, Mike? In today's era of sports coverage, and we've seen how many different Achilles go, and you see the ripple up the calf and all that, no angles? No camera angles. That was shocking to me.
Nothing from behind the Knicks bench, because that's where you would have seen it. But so last night, the Knicks were winning. The Knicks were waiting for that big game from Brunson. Brunson was on fire last night. He was just a machine.
So was Bridges.
But
my
Bridges,
goodness.
Yeah, I mean, everything.
Ginobili.
Robinson.
Yeah.
You want to take it over, Abe?
No, I'm agreeing with you.
You've got to – look, can we get some Ritalin for him? You need some – you've got to stop. You've got to stop, okay? I speak, you speak. Please. Please. Now, as far as the Knicks last night, yes. Everything that we talked about, yes. Just everything working last night. But for the Celtics now, okay, everyone, and Carl and I are of that opinion, with Jaylen Brown, that he's so much more clutch, that Tatum obviously is a guy that, yes, he's got the big money, but the guy, the heart and soul guy, is Brown. Well, I just can't see, if they play like that, and Brunson continues to shoot like that, because that was his, I mean, that was the epiphany night for him in this series.
Yeah, have you seen his fourth quarter numbers over the course? I mean, it is up there with some of the all-time greats through 10 games. I mean, he's clutch. Like, we've talked about it, and we've seen some comments about, like, where's the clutchness in these playoffs? It's in Brunson. That guy's an absolute stone-cold killer. Are you surprised, like, that he's gotten to this point
career? It's because, you know, I've got – and by the way, we will cover Knicks fans because, yes, some people feel that they are more insufferable than any other fan base in all of sports. It's almost like, because I grew up amongst them, so I know, Abe, it's like you took the worst of Mets fans, the worst of Yankees fans.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
fans, the worst of Giants, in that, and you put it all in a blender. You know, then you throw in the celebrities and the Wall Street D-bags that are sitting courtside. It's like it's a very unlikable group of people.
I'm with you. I think it's the celeb factor. It's the star factor the Knicks have that some of the other teams, maybe you don't showcase it that way, that's kind of got them feeling
right.
A certain
way. But in Boston, I mean, this it just feels like, especially with that Celtics, you know, the Celtics City documentary in HBO, this is just another chapter that would fit in the Bill Simmons documentary. Now with Tatum, whatever, how just catastrophic this injury is going to be.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.